Take our Bibles, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. If you need a Bible, there's one for you. Page 896. I have no idea what page is on for this. Your Bibles are all different. So we're going to look at John chapter 10, but first listen. Now, for all you new version people, sorry, I got it, King James, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus goes the most beloved of all the Psalms. It was a familiar picture in David's day, a shepherd leading a flock of sheep over the unfenced Middle Eastern countryside, looking for food and water. It was a familiar picture in Jesus' day. Not many years after John wrote his gospel, the writer to the Hebrews closes his great book with this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. And for the readers of the book of Hebrews, that painted a familiar picture. They knew about shepherds with their sheep, and the picture that created in their mind was, well, it was about good things. Sheep, with a great shepherd, do well. Sheep need a lot of care. They need protection and guiding and feeding, much like God's people. In fact, Paul uses the same picture for the duties of elders in the church when he meets with the elders of the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He calls the church a flock. He says, false teachers are like fierce wolves. So he says, be on the lookout. Protect the sheep. So it's not surprising that Jesus would use this image. Now, you may never have seen a sheep closer than a pair of wool socks, but I think the picture is still helpful. Give it a little thought. The symbols of sheep and sheepfolds and shepherds are vivid pictures of who Jesus is and what he wants us to do. First one. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheep, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Now, let's define the sheepfold. Probably not many of us have actually seen one. If you grew up Sunday school, you probably saw this, colored cartoon picture of a sheepfold. But picture the Middle Eastern shepherd with his rod, which was a club for protection, and his staff, the long stick, often with a crook on the end for guiding and dealing with the sheep. During the day, he guides them to water and pasture. Pasture, by the way, means the grass they eat, for all you non-farmers. He keeps his eye on them to guard them from predators, both human and animal. But at night, they need more protection, and the shepherd needs rest. So the shepherd would guide them into a sheepfold. So here's a picture of a Middle Eastern sheepfold. Now, this one uses a natural cave. Often they had kind of a semicircular wall of piled up stones. Several shepherds might lead their flocks to the same fold, and they would share the protection of the fold. The shepherds would share the duties. One of them would be in charge of the door. Now, why did Jesus begin this sermon on sheep, sheepfolds, and shepherds? When studying Scripture, always consider the passage you're studying in the context of what comes before and what comes after. Jesus preached this sermon because of what happened with the blind beggar in chapter 9. Jesus had healed him to put his deity and glory on display, and because the healing had been done on the Sabbath day, that the Pharisees, who were the most powerful group among the religious leaders of the Jews, demanded that that man denounce Jesus. And when the man refused to do that, they excommunicated him from the synagogue. They made him a pariah in the eyes of society. A man who all his life was dependent on others for his care suddenly was able to see, and all the opportunities that other people had were his. And because he would not submit to the Pharisees and condemn Jesus, that life of opportunity was taken away from him. The leaders of the people did not take care of a vulnerable, needy man. They threw him in the gutter, all to protect their power. And Jesus preaches a sermon on shepherds to shine the light on what the Pharisees were really doing. Because to the Jewish mind, a shepherd was a leader. Whether he was a king or a prophet or a member of the ruling council, the leader cared for the people of God, like a shepherd tending a flock. Psalm 100, verse 3, if you grew up in Sunday school, you know this. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Like sheep, people need guidance and care and protection. That's why the kingship of David was such a breath of fresh air in Old Testament history. After years of having no king, the people of Israel were not doing very well. Now, the problem was not with God, but with themselves. Each one doing what was right in his own eyes instead of trusting and obeying God, much like stupid sheep, wandering off into trouble instead of following their shepherd. So in the days of Samuel, the people decided they needed a king just like all the other nations. The other nations are just doing great. Now, they probably would not have thought that if they had actually lived in those nations. But the grass is always greener across the border. In response to the people's demand and to teach them a lesson, the Lord gave them a king like all the other nations had. A mere human being to tell everybody what to do, who became so swelled up with pride that the point came where the only important thing to him was not caring for the people, it was maintaining his own power, even if it destroyed the nation he was in charge of. Not like a shepherd, more like a butcher. And after they got a good taste of that, the Lord took him out and gave them another king, a man after God's own heart. His name was David. And interestingly enough, he was a shepherd when God called him to be Israel's king. Psalmist Asaph said in Psalm 78, He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. When they got a good shepherd, the sheep do well. But what if the king or the prophets or priests or council members don't shepherd God's people with upright heart and skillful hands. Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 23, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away. You have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord." God is very concerned about shepherds who don't take care of the flock. Jesus is very concerned about shepherds who don't take care of the flock. That's why Jesus preaches this sermon. Start with verse 1 again. "Truly, truly, I say to you," now whenever Jesus says that, amen, amen, literally, he's saying in a special way, listen up. Don't miss this. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Listen up! Listen up! He who does not enter by the sheep, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. The sheepfold has the door, has a door. Everything else was a protective wall around the sheep. One of the shepherds was guarding the door all through the night. But what if someone climbed over the wall? Now, in our picture there, you'd have to drop down from the roof there. But why would they do that when there's a perfectly good door? Because they're there to steal a sheep. That's why. You know that if someone goes over the wall, that person is a thief and a robber. A thief takes your stuff. A robber does it with violence. God has a flock. People who belong to him. They are not part of this world system dominated by Satan. We are his and the sheep of his pasture. And they are gathered for protection in his fold. In chapter 9, Jesus and the man that he healed have come up against the leaders, shepherds in the Jewish mind, who claim that the people of God were theirs to lead and to protect and to feed. Now, we mentioned in our study of chapter 9 that in their origin, the Pharisees were not bad people. They were Jews who, more than anyone else, took the Bible seriously. And they said, we need to know God's word and obey it. There was such a tradition that goes back to Ezra the scribe that we see in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Their problem was that they conceived of themselves as capable of keeping God's law perfectly and earning the approval of God. Earning salvation by good works. They did not understand that they needed a Savior, someone who would take the guilt of their sin on himself and pay the price that they could not pay, except by eternity sharing the punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. Isaiah saw the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the wickedness of us all. The Pharisees knew that scripture. But when the Savior came, the one on whom the chastisement that brought peace was laid, they didn't recognize it. They rejected it. They came to take possession of the flock of God, but they did not come in through the door. Skip down to verse 9 for a second. We'll come back to it next week. I am the door. Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. He's not a door. He is the door. The grammar of that statement in the Greek indicates I alone am the door. There is no other door. Now, you notice in our picture, you don't see a door there, do you? You see an opening. That's the door. Dr. Ironside, I was raised in the early years of my ministry on Dr. Ironside, my pastor's instrument. Dr. Ironside told of a traveler years ago in Palestine who saw the door of the sheepfold. Quote, on one occasion he saw a shepherd leading his flock up the hill. He led them into the fold and made them comfortable. Then the traveler asked, do you leave the sheep in this fold all night? Yes. But aren't there wild beasts around? Yes. Won't they try to get the sheep? Yes. Well, you have no door here. How can you keep the wild beasts out? But the Arab shepherd lay down on his side, and as he settled himself in that entryway, he looked up and smiled and said, I am the door. Nothing and no one could get in except through him. As Peter would later tell the Jews, Acts chapter 4, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Pharisees avoided the door. They did not want the Savior. We're doing very well on our own, thank you very much. No Savior's needed. How did they come to think that they were in charge of the flock of God? They climbed in another way, a way other than Jesus. Is there another way? Not really, no. I and I alone am the door. That makes them not shepherds, but thieves and robbers. Thieves sneak in and take your stuff. Robbers do it with violence. Were these respected religious leaders violent? Well, what have we read? They verbally abused the healed blind man. They threw him out into the social gutter. They picked up stones to kill Jesus. Yes, they were violent. Religion that does not come to God through Jesus Christ may talk a good talk about the way of peace. Oh, yeah, we're for peace. But ultimately, you see this in the book of Revelation and many other places in Scripture. Ultimately, when the chips are down, they always turn violent against God's own flock who have come through Jesus Christ. That has been the pattern through history. In Jesus' illustration, he also talks about a shepherd. The Pharisees are false shepherds. Who is the true shepherd? Who is the one who actually owns the sheep? He is. The door is a picture of Jesus. The true shepherd is a picture of Jesus. Verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Picture that Middle Eastern sheepfold. It may have several flocks, each flock owned by a particular shepherd. A shepherd who owned one of the flocks would come to the door, which was often one of the other shepherds, and he would be admitted. Why? Because he owned his flock. It's his. Verse 3, to him the gatekeeper opens, not to anyone else. He is the one who owns the flock. And he had a relationship with his flock that nobody else had. Continuing, verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Chuck Swindoll quotes author H.V. Morton, who actually saw this during his travels in Israel back in 1934. Quote, early one morning I saw an extraordinary sight not far from Bethlehem. Two shepherds had evidently spent the night with their flocks in a cave. Probably kind of like that, maybe the same one, I don't know. The sheep were all mixed together, and the time had come for the shepherds to go in different directions. One of the shepherds stood some distance from the sheep and began to call. First one, then another, then four or five animals ran towards him, and so on, until he had counted his whole flock. He goes on, the Near Eastern shepherd never drives his flock as our own shepherds drive their sheep. He always walks at the lead, leading them along the roads and over the hills to new pasture. And as he goes, he sometimes talks to them in a loud sing-song voice, using a weird language unlike anything I've ever heard in my life. The first time I heard this sheep and goat language, I was on the hills at the back of Jericho. A goat herd had descended into the valley and was mounting a slope of an opposite hill when, turning around, he saw his goats had remained behind to devour a patch of scrub. Lifting his voice, he spoke to the goats in a language that Pan must have spoken on the mountains of Greece. No sooner had he spoken than an answering bleat shivered over the herd. One or two of the animals turned their heads in his direction, but they did not obey him. The goat herd then called out one word and gave a laughing kind of whinny. Immediately, a goat with a bell around its neck stopped eating and, leaving the herd, trotted down the hill, across the valley, and up the opposite slopes. Very soon, a panic spread among the herd. They forgot to eat. They looked up for the shepherd. He was not to be seen. From the distance came the strange laughing call of the shepherd. And at the sound of it, the entire herd stampeded into the hollow and leapt up the hill after him. End of quote. Jesus' illustration was very familiar to them. The people had all seen it. This is why the situation existed where Jesus came into the world that he had created, to the very people that he had created to be his own special nation, that knew God and had God's word that predicted his coming, and still rejected him. This is why. Thieves and robbers had climbed over the wall in the night and stolen the sheep. They did not want to come in by the door, and they were working hard to prevent the people from coming in by the door. So, is all lost? Has the purpose of God failed on this earth that he created? Has Satan won the war? Absolutely not. Jesus, in his illustration, gives assurance. Whatever false believers may do, the scripture tells us about false believers, whatever they may say, the true shepherd is in control. And his flock is safe with him. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Tom, come. Scarlett, come. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, now note that, all his own, not just some, hoping for the best, all who belong to him, He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Remember way back when we started studying the book, Two Disciples of John the Baptizer? They knew his voice, and they followed Jesus. Nathanael, who was invited by Philip to join the party, knew his voice and followed. Nicodemus, in spite of being a Pharisee of all things, followed. Now, from a distance for a while, but he followed. He had to. He knew his voice. The Samaritan woman at the well, in spite of being of a people who hated the Jews, followed him. And she did not do it from a distance. She ran into town. Everybody come see this guy that told me everything I ever did. She knew his voice. A stranger they will not follow. Dr. Hendrickson says that needs to be rendered, they will in no way follow. It won't happen. A stranger they will not follow. But they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, in the middle of the Gospel of John, it looked dark in Israel. The nation God made is being led by men who don't recognize God's promised Savior. In fact, they are trying to kill him, and they are doing their best to prevent anyone else from following him. But Satan will not win. God knows who his people are. He calls them by name. His purpose goes forward. Years later, God's purpose is still going forward. A Jew, in fact, a Pharisee, if you can believe it, is preaching the good news of the Savior Jesus Christ. Many have come to know God through faith in Christ, in his finished work on the cross, Jesus paying for our sin so that we can be freely received by his grace when we put our faith in him. Churches have been established in cities and towns across the Roman Empire. But in some of these churches, some professing Christians have departed from the faith. They no longer teach what Paul taught about who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. False shepherds, or as Paul told the Ephesian elders, vicious wolves have snuck in, ravaging the flock. But Paul writes to Pastor Timothy, and he gives him this encouragement, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. If you read that whole context, yes, some who claim to be Christians have swerved away from the faith. But, he says, God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Satan cannot win. As dark as it might seem, God's sheep are safe. They've got a great. Let's worship the Lord.